This evening, we want to look at Song of Solomon, chapter 4. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 1. Behold, that is, take a good look at this. Thou art fair, my love. He says it again. Behold, thou art fair. Beautiful, lovely. Again in verse 7, he says, thou art all fair. Entirely, completely fair. Beautiful. And he refers to his church as his love. We are the object of his love, object of his mercy. He's loved his church with an everlasting love, hadn't he? And because he's loved us with an everlasting love, he draws us unto himself. Thou art all fair, my love. Now, why would God love such a one as us? I mean, there's nothing in us lovely. Everything in us is ugly. Everything in us is sinful. The reason for his love can't be found in you. The reason for his love is found in himself. God is love. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no defect, blemish, not even a speck, not even a spot of unrighteousness, not even a spot of sin in my love in the church. Now, this is glorious language, is it not? You just think about what we know about ourselves as God described us in his word as guilty, ungodly, and all these things. And yet he takes these sinful creatures and he makes us altogether lovely, and he does it in his sight, in the sight of God Almighty. So I'm taking the title for the message from verse 7 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ says of his church, his bride, his spouse, his sister, his wife, as he calls her, thou art all fair. No spot, no blemish, no stain, no deformity. Completely whole in Christ. What the Lord says of his church, his elect, is absolutely true. It's true. In Christ we are without sin. Holy, unblameable, as it says in Colossians 1:22. In his sight, he presents us to the Father spotless, without blame. Herein is our love made perfect, John says in 1 John 4:17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The way, when God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, God Almighty, God the Father, says that of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Altogether lovely. Now remember, as we study through this book, this is a spiritual love story between the bridegroom and the bride, between Christ and his church. It's not to be interpreted as an earthly relationship of Solomon and his many wives. You remember how many wives Solomon had? 700 wives. It says he had 300 concubines. It's not to be interpreted of Solomon and his many wives, 1,000 or so. But even in that, we see the Lord Jesus Christ has a multitude of sinners called his children, his bride, his sister, his spouse, out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. Even in Solomon's downfall of those many wives, we see even in that a picture of Christ having many, many that he's called out of darkness into his marvelous light. It speaks of this intimate relationship and loving communion that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and his believing people. This song expresses their love and affection for him and his love and affection for them. It goes back and forth, doesn't it? The church says of him, you remember, turn one page over here to chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Now this is the bride talking about the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. His mouth is most sweet. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. He's altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. They're madly in love with each other, the church and his bride. They love each other. We only love him because he first loved us. We don't love him by nature. We love him by the grace of God. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, verse 1 and verse 7, and also in chapter 1, verse 15, turn back over there. We've seen something of that expression before. Look back at chapter 1, verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. So we've seen that before. So three times in these two verses here, four times counting that verse we just read. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Again, he says it. Verse 7, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot, no spot in thee. We see in these verses, the Lord expresses the beauty of his church, what he has made us by his grace. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. The Lord declares that his church is perfect in his beauty and in his righteousness. For he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Remember the story in Ezekiel 16 about the cast out infant, and the Lord passed by and said it was a time of love. You remember Ezekiel 16? And here's what one verse says in that chapter. Thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, perfect through my beauty, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. There's that cast out infant. Everybody threw it out, away with it. And the Lord passed by in that time of love and washed it and cleaned it and decked it and dressed it and says, you're beautiful through my righteousness. And that's a picture of what he does for us. Now we all admit and quickly confess, that is, God's people do, believers, that there is no beauty about us naturally, is there? We're all black, unclean. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You remember back in chapter 1? Turn back over there, look at verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. You remember this verse where it says, and here's our confession, I'm black. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Chief of sinners. Wretched man that I am. But I'm comely too. How can that be? That's a great mystery, isn't it? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm perfect. I'm perfect in him. In our own esteem, in our own eyes, we say with the apostle Paul, oh, wretched man, not that I used to be, that I am. And we can say with the apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came sinners, came to save sinners, and he said, I'm the chief one. At our best state, we are nothing but vanity, vanity, vanity. But in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are perfect. Now, I thought about this. It says three times, twice in verse 1, once in verse 7. Three times. But in the eyes of Christ, in the eyes of God the Father, in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, in the eyes of God the Holy Spirit, they all three agree, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He says of his church, and the triune God said, they are fair, complete, all fair. No spot, no blemish, no stain, no defect. Isn't that amazing? You see something of the power of the gospel of God? The way he sees us is the way we really are in his sight. Now, I see myself as totally sinful, totally depraved, wicked, and guilty. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says of his bride, she's lovely. Lovely. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we are complete. Complete. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Get a hold of that. No, but that's the amazing mystery of the sovereign love and grace of God. How he can take vile sinners and make them just like Christ and do it in a way that honors every attribute of his character and not violate his holy character. All fair. In him and in his eyes we stand complete. He has taken away all our sin by the sacrifice of himself. So thoroughly and throughly is the blood atonement of Christ that he said their sin and their iniquity, no more. They don't exist. He has imputed unto us a perfect righteousness. Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. He is the Lord our righteousness. And in the new birth he has imparted to us a holy divine nature. Paul talks about it in Ephesians 4, to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are, as believers, partakers of a divine nature. Remember we studied in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he calls us holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. In glory, in that last day, when the Lord comes back, takes us to himself, he will present us to the Father, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at some of these details that are given here. How the Lord describes his bride, his church. Again, this is a spiritual picture. It's symbolically and figuratively language picturing what the believer is in Christ. And he mentions seven different things of an anatomy of a body, but it describes what we are in Christ and what he's done for us in Christ. You remember this number seven is the number of completeness. Now, here's the first one, eyes like doves. You see that in verse 1? Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks or within thy veil or behind the veil. The bride's eyes are peaceful as the doves, dove's eyes. We are to live in peace and enjoy the peace we have been given in Christ, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace for us with his own blood. The eyes of the believer, the eyes of his understanding, have been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit. The eyes of faith, God-given faith, the faith of God's elect, look to and are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ for all of our salvation, looking unto him who's the author and finisher of our faith. The dove's eyes within thy locks. He gives us eyes to see him, who is altogether lovely. The second thing he mentions here is the hair. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Now, how many goats are in a flock of goats? I don't know. Could be 50. Could be 100. Maybe 1,000. Maybe 10,000. But can you count all the hair in a flock of goats? That's a lot, isn't it? And he says, thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear or that eat in Mount Gilead. Now, a couple things here. God's people are described as 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, redeemed out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue under heaven, like the hair of a flock of goats. I mean, you could you count those? We couldn't count them. But the Lord counts all his people and he knows them by name. He said the hairs of your head are even all numbered. The hairs of our head are all numbered. The Lord is acquainted with all our ways. He knows our every thought. He knows our every need. He's able to meet all our need according to his riches and glory. Christ knows his sheep and numbers them like the hairs of our head. They're all precious to him. None can be missing without his notice. He knows where his sheep are. He bought them with his own blood. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. How long has he known them? He's known them from all eternity, right? Now here's the third thing. He's talked about the teeth. You see that in verse 2? The teeth are like a flock of sheep. Now, sheep don't have teeth like wolves. They don't have fangs to tear meat apart. The sheep are tame sheep. Their teeth are just no edges. They're just all smooth where they eat that grass. They just eat it down to nothing. But the teeth are like a flock of sheep. Even the sheep that have been shorn, that have been shaved, which come up from the washing, they're all clean sheep. Washing of the water by the word, we read in Ephesians chapter 5, whereof every one of those sheep, they bear twins, and none is barren among them. Teeth. Like a flock of sheep. The believer likes to chew on the word with the teeth God's given us. The teeth of his grace, the teeth of understanding. For we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We desire the meat of the word to meditate upon, to chew upon the word of God. We studied in 1 Timothy 4, meditate upon these things and give yourself wholly to them. In the word of God that we chew upon, that we meditate upon, tells us of the washing we have through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice these sheep, they're shorn, they're clean sheep through the washing. We're clean through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That makes us to be a fruitful flock, as it says there. None of them is barren, but rather every one of them bear twins. And that means in the original, bear twins, it means complete. We are complete in Christ. There's no teeth missing in these sheep. They have a full set of teeth whereby they chew on the grass, the green pastures of his word, and meditate upon it, and they get nourishment and life and refreshing as they chew upon the green pastures of his word. And all that is talking about the believer. In Christ, we have no teeth missing. We have no false teeth. None of our teeth are decayed. We have a perfect set of teeth. Wouldn't that be something? I've had all kind of dental work done because I've got missing teeth. Implants and crowns and all these different things. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sheep of Christ have a perfect set of teeth that they might eat the green pastures of his word and be nourished up. Like those goats from Mount Gilead, he leads us in the pastures of his word. He makes the barren, he makes us to be fruitful. None of them are barren. Every one of them bear twins. And we're complete in Christ. Now look at verse 3. He talks about the lips. The lips, thy lips, are like a thread of scarlet. Now, when you think about a thread of scarlet, what is that? Does that bring up any memory? Any remembrance of a story? Rahab the harlot put out that scarlet line. Thy lips are like a scarlet thread. What was that a picture of? Redemption by the blood. Thy lips, they speak of the redeeming blood of Christ. A scarlet thread. Thy speech is beautiful. Comely is the word. Thy speech is beautiful and comely because we talk about Christ, who is altogether lovely. The lips are like a thread of scarlet. Thy speech is beautiful, comely, seasoned with grace. Lips are an instrument of speech. We praise His name and preach His gospel. You can't speak any words with your lips closed, can you? Some people can do that, but I can't. But the Lord gives us our mouth, our teeth, our lips, our tongue, that we might declare the praises of God, that we might declare the gospel. Paul says, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews 13. Through him, then, we may offer up sacrifices of praise always to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto God. We use our lips to praise His name, don't we? Lips and speech of scarlet. Talking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sin. Let me show you interesting scripture on that. Just a few pages over. Find Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. You remember the story of Isaiah when on King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Verse 5, Isaiah 6. Then said I, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken off the tongs from the altar, and he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That's the message he gives us. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, well, my lips have been touched. I'm ready to speak the word of God. Here am I, send me. Send me. Send me to declare the gospel of God's grace. Because he touched our heart, he touched our lips. You remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When he does a work of grace in our heart, what do we talk about? We don't talk about what we've done for Jesus, do we? We talk about what he's done for us. Salvation depends upon what he's done for us. Now, the last part of verse 3, thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. That word locks means veil. The temples, and talking about this right here, this anatomy part of the body, a temple. A temple is something between the eye and the ear, right? It's very sensitive. You can get a pulse from your temple. Temples are the upper part of the cheek between the eye and the ear, part of our face. The beauty of the church is not on the surface. One may look pious on the outside, but unclean within, full of dead men's bones. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, they made out the outside clean, but within was all uncleanness. The beauty of the believer is within his heart, his mind, his temple. Christ in you, the hope of glory, like the pomegranate. Now, I don't know much about a pomegranate piece of fruit, but what I've read, it must be cut open to see the real red, juicy part. I mean, just looking at the pomegranate, it doesn't look like much. But you cut it open, and there's that red flavor, smell, juicy smell. And that's what he's talking about. Christ in us is a red, juicy, real fruit, a fragrance of his grace. It's not what men see outwardly. It is what he beholds inwardly in the heart. You remember our Lord told Samuel, God looks on the heart, not on the outward countenance. My temples are like a pomegranate. You cut open into the believer's mind and heart, and you see that red, juicy fruit of the love of God through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4, talks about the neck. Thy neck like a strong tower of David, builded for an armory. Or the tower of David, an armory, a fortress, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, that's shields, and all the shields of mighty men. Boy, it must have been some kind of armory, some kind of a tower that David builded. As the neck connects the head to the body, we see a vital union. So the believer is strongly connected to our head, even the Lord Jesus Christ. What a strong, lasting, sure, vital union we have with Him. Stronger than 1,000 shields of mighty men, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, and nothing can break that eternal union that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're one with Him. Listen to this scripture. We had it recently in Hebrews chapter 2. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren, he's not ashamed of us. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. In John 17, let me read this to you. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. John 17:23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Thou art fair, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Now, here's the seventh thing, verse 5. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. That's where he feeds. He feeds among the lilies. You remember chapter 2, verse 16? Look right across the page. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. Where he feeds, that's where we like to feed. Where he is, that's where we want to be. Thy two breasts are like two young roes, two young deer, two young fawn. The language here is very intimate, isn't it? Some think that it refers to the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New. Others have the opinion that it's talking about the law and the gospel. Yet others talk about the two ordinances given to the church. Some to the breastplate that is worn by the great high priest. But to me, it's the breastplate of faith and love. These two twins. And here's the scripture. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for helmet the hope of salvation. The breastplate of faith and love. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the breastplate of our righteousness. Stand fast, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, Christ our righteousness. One thing is certain, the Lord is speaking with delight of his bride. She is lovely in his eyes because her beauty is totally derived from him. She has no beauty in herself, all because of him. Verse 6, until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. This mountain and this hill may be meant the church of Christ gathered together in the gospel purpose and will of God. It's immovable The Lord said, I'll build my church and nothing can destroy it. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh, the mountain of his grace, and the hill of his mercy that cannot be moved. Now turn one, two pages. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Look at verse 2. 1 and 2. Isaiah 2, verse 1 and 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it out of every tribe, kin, nation, tongue under heaven. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes pleasure and delight in his people to dwell with them. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, that's where I am. He takes pleasure and delight in his people to dwell with them until he comes back the second time to receive them to himself forever. Remember, he said, I'll go away and I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I'll get me to the mountain, to the myrrh, to the hill. Now, let me read this verse to you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 16, 17. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hand be slack. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. The same message, isn't it? Thou art fair, verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Now you just think about that a while. What amazing love and amazing grace we have in our blessed Savior.